When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I can't hear anything. What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley. You're watching on Monumental Sports Network. You're hanging on the 106.7 The Fan stream, which I guess we should all get into. Good morning, Brian. Yeah, I can't hear a word either.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I hear absolutely nothing. But
now I hear you.
I am good. I don't hear anything.
Okay. We'll get to the bottom of all that.
Yeah.
Interesting day and night in Washington. Obviously, yesterday, the firing of Cliff Kingsbury and Joe Witt happened as we were on the air. And, you know, as you're on the air, you're kind of reacting in real time. Over the course of last night, I was able to make a bunch of calls and try to figure some stuff out, see where this thing is headed next. And obviously, we're going to get into all that. But the bombshell that dropped last night was the Ravens firing. And let's be clear, if you look at the language between the Ravens statement and then John Harbaugh's statement, he was fired. That was not a mutually agreeable parting ways.
Oh, yeah.
Now, they did it classy. Like, they did it the right way. But they were like, John, we love you. 21 years. Time to go, dog.
Yeah, but I think in John's situation, it's very much like his former boss, Andy Reid.
In Philly.
Where you have a lot of success. John won a Super Bowl there. They were one of the best teams in the league the whole time he was there. But all of a sudden, like, you look at the last few years, and you start seeing a message get a little stale. Doesn't mean that you're a bad coach, but after being a certain place for a certain amount of time, you know, and look at them. They're similar to how the Steelers were. Third coach in the history of that franchise.
Crazy. Now, the Steelers have been around a lot longer. Yeah,
but the Steelers, but I'm saying, if you look at how they are, they normally keep their coaches around for a certain amount of time.
Sure.
And when you hit around that 10, 12, 13-year thing, if you're not winning at a high level, people start getting a little antsy. Because you built a certain level of what is your expectation. You know, if other teams were having the success they've had, they're thrilled. They're not happy with going into the playoffs and leaving out in the first round. They want to be in the playoffs and be there all the way to the end.
Yeah.
And I think that's the difference where, you know, a lot of times some of the coaches, like a John, like a Andy Reid, they are competing against themselves because of what the success level they've had. Now their expectations go way up. The other teams, you know, you'd be happy your team going to the playoffs, being around that playoffs, but not them, not anymore.
Landfill provided us with an outrageous statistic. John Harbaugh has more playoff appearances than the entire Cardinals franchise. Now, I don't know if that's just since they got to Arizona or dating back to the St. Louis days or what, but that is crazy.
It is crazy.
I find it really hard to believe John Harbaugh doesn't get hired.
Well, if you hear 45 minutes after he was released, fired, whatever you want to call it, 7 teams reached out to him, and some of those teams have coaches.
Well, so do the math on that. There's now 7 openings, and if 7 teams had reached out, one of them's the team that just fired him. So they're not reaching out.
They're not reaching out. So there is a team out there that has a coach that said, hey, what's up, dog?
Well, I think if you're looking around, and we're going to get into what Washington's doing next at offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator, but if you're looking around and you were Todd Bowles or Mike McDaniel, and you get through Black Monday, you're the coach of the Tampa Bay Bucks or the Miami Dolphins, and you get through Black Monday, you're probably feeling pretty good. You're probably feeling pretty good right up until John Harbaugh gets fired in Baltimore.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
but you know what, though, bro? I sit here and I listen to people when a head coach gets fired or released, and I truly wonder, are those coaches feeling
Shout out to Jeff the engineer.
Yeah.
The Monumental, put Jeff on TV trying to figure this out. It's going great here.
I may be off or something, but we'll see. But
you and I can hear each other talk, so at least until the break, we're okay.
I just think that, you know, you look at coaches when they have a year, two, four, 5 years left on their contract, they get fired. They still get paid now.
Sure.
Okay, especially head coaches. And the guys that are like a John Harbaugh, I reached out to John last night, and I'm sure I'll get a message from him eventually.
He probably had a lot going on.
Yeah, he had a lot going on. But, like, the thing of it, I have been through, like, the coaches I've become real close with, I've reached out to them over these years, and I get a response back because I have a relationship with those guys at a level that was beyond just being a coach and a player. You know what I mean? And I think those guys will be okay. When David Culley got released that time, you know, I reached out to David, and he's like, I said, how you doing, man? He said, yeah, nobody want to get fired, but I'm cool. Because he had 4 years left on that damn contract, you know, at like, what, $7 million a year. And I know it ain't all about the money, but you know what? That's a great relief when I'm getting fired, but I'm still getting paid. Because most of us, when we get fired, we don't get paid.
Sure. I think, you know, Culley, if I remember right, I think that team went 2-14, and he probably wasn't surprised to be fired. I think a dude
that was his first year. So, right. And I don't think anybody in their first year, you expect them to come out there and do great. You know, there have been coaches come out in their first year, second year, third, 5 years.
Regardless.
I'm just saying.
Yes, they get paid, for sure. Yeah. I think Todd Bowles has been very clear he doesn't think he deserves to be fired. He's like, we won the division three straight times. Yeah. Mike McDaniel, they fire the GM. He goes 5-2, I think, down the stretch. I think both – my point is to what you're saying about, all right, there are seven openings already.
Yeah.
And one of them checking in with Harbaugh. Mm-hmm. And that clearly means it's one team with a head coach in place.
Yeah.
The coaches, and who knows, man. I mean, if you look around the league where that could be, I think the questions were about what's going to happen in Tampa. Okay, looks like Todd's okay. What's going to happen in Miami? Oh, looks like Mike's okay. It's a little different when you got a guy. Lanfield gave me the stat, dude. The Arizona Cardinals, and previously the Phoenix Cardinals, previously the St. Louis Cardinals, mm-hmm. They've been around for 106 years. Mm-hmm. They have 11 playoff appearances. That must mean like playoff appearances, because just in the Super Bowl run, I think they had to win four games to get there. You know what I mean? Not necessarily playoff wins, but playoff appearances. Mm-hmm. John Harbaugh had 12 playoff appearances in 18 seasons.
That's just a bad franchise.
Sure.
But like the thing,
but it's also a good coach.
I know we look at Tampa, we look at Miami. It could be a team that we're not even thinking of. Because when a guy of that caliber gets on the market, somebody might be looking at their team right now saying, you know, we've been average. We've been winning, but we're not taking that step. I'll go get him.
Let's go through where it's not, mm-hmm. right? Not Denver. It's not New England. It's not Jacksonville. It's not Houston. It's not the Chargers. Mm-hmm. They're not going to fire his brother to bring him in.
Yeah, he wouldn't take that one.
Right. Since he ain't doing it, they're too cheap. They're not going to blow everybody out to bring him in.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Kansas City.
Nah.
Unless you think Andy is telling Hunt, like, hey, man.
I might ride off in the sunset. That'd be a good dude to get.
Do you think there's any chance of that? I find it hard to believe, but it's interesting.
My last conversation with Andy, I think Andy wants to do it a little longer. But then again, there was something in there that kind of told me that the end is kind of getting near.
That'd be hella interesting. The Browns, obviously. The Raiders, obviously. You think the Jets, who just told Aaron Glenn he's cool, do you think that changes?
Could be.
That's a could be.
I mean, that's a could be. You know, but like, I would look at that situation and look at John and say, do you want to take on that? Do you want to deal with that dude up there?
I agree with
you. You know what I'm saying?
Like, if you're John Harbaugh, you get to be pretty selective.
See, certain coaches can choose what they want. You know, two of them that I've been looking at, New York, Raiders.
I think
those two, I think, are kind of.
Listen, I don't want to be morbid here, but I think, I don't know if you watched Hard Knocks last night, but it's been reported that John Mara is pretty sick, dealing with cancer. If you're John Mara and you're like, all right, I'm going to get this dude to put my franchise back on track, I think you feel great about that going forward.
Hell yeah.
Like, since they fired Coughlin, which they probably shouldn't have done in hindsight, it's been a mess up there. Mm-hmm. It's been a mess.
Yeah.
And now you're getting somebody of that caliber right? Somebody with the ring, somebody with the stability, leader of men, you know, tactician, all those things.
Listen, you get around some coaches that are happy to be a coach in the NFL, and you get around other coaches who are there to work and get it done.
To win.
John is that dude.
Yeah, I think, to me, the Giants are the top of the list. As far as the organizations that maybe reach out, Buffalo's the sixth seed. All of a sudden, Buffalo was supposed to be the cream of the crop in the AFC East for a long time. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, New England's back on top.
Yeah.
If you're the owner, if you're the Pegulas, and Sean has been good, do you want somebody that maybe has done it? I don't know that answer. But like when you think about what teams have reached out, I don't know that it'd be Buffalo. KC would be fascinating. The Raiders, the Jets, the Titans all make sense.
But you know what I meant with that situation, OJ? They said 45 minutes after he retired, after he was fired, that happened. We way beyond 45 minutes now. Probably some other people already reached out too.
Look through the NFC. It's not Seattle. It's not Chicago. Any chance Howie called?
Howie Roseman?
Yeah. Nah. I don't think so either.
Nah. I don't think that one.
Okay. I don't think it'd be Carolina. It's certainly not the Rams. It's not the Niners. Could Green Bay have called? I doubt it. LaFleur's been great.
So, yeah.
Minnesota ain't calling. You got O'Connell. Detroit ain't calling.
I think the guys with quarterbacks, I don't know if John will be that guy. Because, I mean, the head coaches that are offensive-minded guys with a younger quarterback, younger-level quarterback, I think those people would feel better with the offensive coach.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
That's why I think it's not Minnesota, it's not Detroit. I think Tampa's really interesting. Atlanta's obviously interesting. I don't think the Saints, after the season, the success they just had late in the year with Shook and Kellen Moore calling plays. The Giants, the Cardinals, those are all obvious ones. It seems to me John Harbaugh ends up with the New York Giants. That's just my gut all the way. But this is because the Rooney rule really slows down the hiring process.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's a number of rules and stipulations in place for when and how you can talk to head coaching candidates that are coordinators on other playoff teams.
Mm-hmm.
Like the process goes slow now. Nobody's getting hired tomorrow. Even in Washington for these coordinator jobs, nothing's going to happen immediately. So if
2 weeks, probably you see some movements.
You could probably get your first hire done like that week after MLK, right? So that MLK is 2 weeks out, I think, like the week after. So January 23rd-ish. And it depends on what teams get knocked out of the playoffs and who becomes available for interviews and all that stuff. But all I'm saying is now that Harbaugh's on the market, I think some jobs that seemed okay, you're all right.
I think he gets hired first, and then everything starts to happen.
What I'm saying is I think some dudes could get fired that we weren't expecting still going into this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with Harbaugh out, I think it's pretty interesting with Tomlin. What happens if Pittsburgh gets blown out Monday night by Houston? I think that job is Tomlin's as long as he wants it. That's always been kind of my gut, my read with Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
But 6 weeks ago, there were fire Tomlin chance in the stands. You know?
It'd been like that for 6 years.
Sure. So, and they haven't had playoff success in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I think those are kind of the last mysteries to me. Still, though, my gut says Harbaugh to the Giants. And
when you look at a Harbaugh being fired, you know, we always ask the question, who you going to hire? Who you going to hire that's much better than Harbaugh? Who you going to hire that's much better than Tomlin? When you start looking around, I understand, yes, we get tired and we want to hire somebody else and people push for it, but who the hell you going to get that's better?
Dog,
that question, I think, is a question that has never been answered when people ask that question, who you going to get that's better? Especially for somebody of their level.
In college sports, you hear this all the time, fire the coach, fire the coach. Mm-hmm. Who are you going to get? Who are you going to get? And I'm with you. I think the management up there, ownership up there, really patient, long-term view, have the right ideas, and eventually you need a change. I also wonder, late in the season, you started to hear the first public reporting of Lamar's shortcomings, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
There was an article in the Baltimore Sun by a dude that's been in Baltimore a long time, a respected columnist, saying Lamar's not a bad guy. He's just not that focused. There's different rules for Lamar and the organization and everybody else. And like when you start to have different rules for different people, sometimes that speaks to a fragmentation. To me, as I look at this, clearly the organization, like any talk of Lamar being traded, I bet is done now.
Mm-hmm.
Like whoever's coming into Baltimore is coming in with the clear
believe
marching
this.
Order.
I want that dude.
That's our guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that's the wrong decision, frankly. A dude of that talent, you got to keep him healthy, but that's the case around the NFL. Mm-hmm. I want to get into kind of what I've heard over the last 24 hours, specifically for the Washington coordinator jobs. And we're going to get to this. I know we want to dedicate some real time to it, but the Wiz, B.
I watched some of that one last night.
Sar.
Them dudes play, bro. They play.
And dude.
They play hard. They care about each other, but you can see they're pulling for each other. And when you got that type of little chemistry going, damn good things can happen.
They've now won, I believe, 3 of 4. They've won 5 of 7. Sar is balling.
Sar changes the other team's offense whenever they come in the paint close to him.
Totally, man. If you look at Alex Sar last night, so Paolo Banchero for the Magic was...
He shut him down.
Number 2 overall pick, right? Like, he was a big deal. Plus minus last night, he was a minus 22.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think Sar was?
Had to be plus something because he was 21 points, but about 11, 12, 13.
23 points, 7 boards, five blocks.
Yeah.
Alex Sar last night was plus 23.
Mm.
Pretty darn good. Here's what I want to do. Let's have a real conversation about what happens next for the Washington Commanders. Where do you go from here? At offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. Nobody go anywhere. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
There goes my girl. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Busy, busy, busy day. Couple days here in the NFL. Black Monday was significant yesterday. A whole bunch of coaches got fired. In Washington, the head coach made it through, and I don't think that's a big surprise. But what happens next is of the foremost matter. And B, I think we got to talk a little bit about Dan Quinn's decision yesterday, or Sunday night, or hell, maybe a month ago, right? Because what DQ has done, I mean, it's year 2. And year 1 was great, and year 2 was bad.
Mm-hmm.
You got to give Quinn some credit or point out that he's a little bit nuts, whichever way you want to look at it. In a self-preservation league, if DQ's primary focus was to be here as long as he could, mm-hmm. and I kind of think we saw that with Ron, frankly. That the focus was to make sure I can stick around, right? If DQ's focus was to stay here as long as he could, firing Witt was always going to happen. Once you pulled play calling from him midway mm-hmm. through the season and the numbers, frankly, just the eye test of this defense has been poor for 2 years. It became very clear. Witt was going to get fired.
Mm-hmm.
Period, full stop. Firing Kingsbury puts significant pressure on Quinn.
Yeah.
Because you're now 2 years in, and now you got to rebuild your whole staff. And if you get another really bad year, it's like, well, dude, are we sure you can run this program? Because now you've already had to overhaul your staff. The record now for DQ in Washington is 17-17. Mm-hmm. Exactly 500.
Yeah.
With another bad year, that record's going to drop well below 500. And with another bad year, the memories of that incredible 24 run to the NFC title game are a lot further in the rear view. And so I applaud Quinn for making a move, because the reality is, if he doesn't make the move, next year he could say, okay, I got to rebuild this offense. Give me a year. That may or may not work, but at least it gives him an out. This year, he's kind of putting it on the table and saying, all right, I'm going to rebuild this now so we can win now. Mm-hmm. And I think he deserves some credit for it.
But I don't think it's that simple. I don't think it's all about Dan Quinn making all the moves. I think this is a – like they say Dan gets the final say on the coaching staff, but I believe that this is a effort that – a decision that came to by more than one person.
I agree with that.
And I believe that it was like there are people that want to say, well, you knew who he was when you hired him, all that type of stuff. No. I know what he told me he was going to do, and I know what I've seen. But then when we have discussions and you keep doing what you want to do, then we got to make a decision. And I think that's kind of what got to this point. And let's be real. Like, sometimes people say what they need to say to get the job. And then when they get the job, they say, well, I'm going to do something else. Especially when you were getting money from other teams. Now that changes up a little bit, and then the other team has the power and the control now. He might have had it early. He don't have it now.
I think after having a bunch of conversations last night, I think, you know, the reporting was the relationship deteriorated between Adam Peters and Cliff Kingsbury. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying – I think that can be true. But I think the relationship had also deteriorated with Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury. And I think – at some point, you wonder if DQ asked for things to look a different way, yeah, and they didn't.
Well, based off of my knowledge of pro football for the amount of years I've been around it now,
yeah,
20-plus years.
Right.
Offenses and defenses work try to work together. I saw an offense that worked separate or whatever. It just wanted to do what he wanted to do. When your defense is not as good, you damn sure don't want to be running fast pace and giving the ball right back to the other team quickly like that. And that happened consistently.
Yep.
When you have a hell of a running game, you lean on it. You don't leave it. And I know we went through the stuff yesterday. You said that they were damn near even when it came to runs and passes. But there were games where they were running the ball, running the snot out the damn ball in the first half, they get in the second half, and they say, hell with that run. And guys end up, a running back ends up with 11 carries, 10 carries, 8 carries, averaging 7, 8 yards a carry. Why the hell he didn't have 20? And if I look at a defensive coach, like when I was with Jim Johnson and Richie Pettibone and Joe, and then Jim Johnson and Andy, I watched those dudes have these defensive offensive meetings all the time to game plan how we're going to try to approach certain things. Watching the games, I'm looking at, that ain't work. That damn sure ain't working. If they had the meetings, the show not going out and doing what they wanted to do.
Well,
and that's me seeing stuff, like watching it, and I've heard other people that I know have a very good feel of this offense-defense thing saying exactly the same thing when we didn't have discussions prior. You know what I mean?
Totally. And I think you wonder if there weren't conversations about that and – it just wasn't heard, wasn't heeded, wasn't mm-hmm. listened to.
Yeah.
And when you see a move like this, and so folks made a big point out of, and myself included, Dan Quinn got asked about Cliff Kingsbury in the end of season presser on Monday night, and he gave no answer.
Mm-hmm.
Go back the week before, because I did. Dan Quinn got asked about Cliff going into the Philly game. He also gave no answer. Like, whatever's going on there, I don't believe something just happened Sunday night after the Eagles game and mm-hmm. there was a decision
made. Yeah.
And I think if you're Quinn, let's be very real about Dan Quinn. He is, I can 100%, go back 2 years now, I can 100% see when Josh Harris and Bob Myers and Adam Peters brought Quinn in to be interviewed for the head coaching job, knowing Quinn now, knowing how he talks about building a, putting the building together, putting the staff together, putting the team together, mm-hmm. building a team, team first. Knowing that, I could see him knocking your socks off in an interview.
Mm-hmm.
I can totally see that. And I think, for going back to the coaching search conversation, I think the team, when they got done with their interview with Quinn, they ended up liking him way more than they expected, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how he became a very serious contender for that job. And then other things happen. McDonald goes to Seattle. Ben Johnson tells him to turn the plane around. Whatever else happens, it ends up being Quinn. If you're Dan Quinn, who is a realistic person and understands life in the NFL, he's probably not getting another gig after this. The reality is he's got to win, and he's got to win mm-hmm. now. And if he knows this offense is not how I'm going to win going forward, make the move now. Don't wait. Don't wait another year and let it go further sideways or further impact your team or further impact your young quarterback, all those things. Like, I can applaud DQ for making the move now because it increases the pressure on him, and I think he's comfortable in that role.
Yeah.
So what do you do next? I think defensively there's not a lot of secrets to this. I think there are two far and away leading contenders to get the D coordinator job. Ironically, they were both in Atlanta. I think it's either going to be Raheem Morris or Jeff Ulbrich. Both have strong ties to Dan Quinn. Both have been defensive guys. Raheem was the head coach. Ulbrich was the D coordinator. With Raheem, to your earlier point, B, Raheem's 2 years into what is probably, I assume he got a five-year deal, making good money. Maybe Raheem doesn't want to take that immediate step back and be a DC again.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Raheem wants to sit out a year or see if he gets another call. I don't know those things. Ulbrich, I imagine, as a D coordinator, Ulbrich got the one window at an interim job when the Jets fired Saleh, when basically Aaron Rodgers fired Saleh 2 years ago.
Yeah.
That whole thing was just a disaster.
Totally.
You know, the Atlanta defense this past year was way better than they've been in a long time. And the thing that stands out to me most from that Atlanta defense, that is a team that hasn't been able to rush the passer in decades. And last year they were. Now, they did. They added some talent. They drafted two pass rushers early, but there was a schematic commitment to going to get the quarterback that I liked from that Atlanta defense. And when you hear Adam Peters Monday night talk about the only two things Peters said of any concrete nature, we need a pass rusher and we got to get a Tunsil deal done. So if you've got the front office saying, yo, we know we need pass rush, and you've got the head coach now looking at a new defensive coordinator, somebody to call the defenses, and you look to Atlanta, and I'm not saying they were great. Statistically, they were middle of the pack. They were 15th in yards allowed, 19th in points allowed. I think some of the points allowed stuff was offense that turned it over a lot. But they got after the passer. And I think that is what this team is trying to create. They also generated turnovers at a high level. Now, some of that is extremely fluky. I don't think you can count on turnovers year over year. But I think
I can tell you one thing about turnovers. If you can't get pressure on the quarterback, you're not going to get none.
Exactly.
You're not going to get a lot of them. I promise you that. So, I listen, man. However this stuff works out, in the NFL right now, the quarterback and a passing game is as prevalent as any. And the way you combat that, you have somebody who can put pressure and harass the hell out of them on a consistent basis. And yes, we've had guys who can come out there and do it this game, that game. We haven't had a guy who every game you have to game plan for. And I think that's the game plan. And whether it's Dan calling the plays or defense coordinator coming in here, they have to make that step and have a person like that on the roster. If you can get two of them, you need people who can harass and disrupt the flow of an offense. You can't have 7-on-7 happen on Sundays. And we've seen some of that over the damn last few weeks.
And I think, and we've discussed this, but I think with Washington's roster, especially with their roster by Halloween with all the injuries, I don't think Buddy Ryan's generating a pass rush. Like, a lot of that pressure needs to be on the personnel, talent evaluation, players you bring in.
Yeah, and see, and that's the...
Players are always going to be more important than coaches.
That is
period.
The disconnect of where sports is today. We lean on one thing and we don't lean on the other. The coaches coach who the hell they sign and they bring in. And if you bring in something and you tell me this is supposed to be this and they're not that, I get judged off of that guy. So, yes, personnel has to get better at the people that they give to the coaches as well.
100%.
You know, and if you go and you get one more guy and you got Dorrance and you saw what Martin has done, you start to see the semblance of what you can have. You know what I mean? But to me, pass rush doesn't just start on the edge. Pass rush starts in the interior as well. Because when most quarterbacks have success, they step up in the pocket, they slide. If he has no way to step up to, you know what can happen? The guy's coming off the edge can hit him in the back of his head more often than not. But when he can step up and let you go past and slide because you're not getting pressure up the middle, that affects pass rush more than anything in the world. So, yes, we need to get some edge rushes. But we need to get more violence up the middle.
Violence is what you need. I don't think the defensive side of the football is that complicated. I kind of think it's going to be Raheem or Ulbrich. If something happens, those guys end up elsewhere. I know folks are going to talk about Jim Schwartz. Brown's ownership is saying they want to keep him. I don't think Brian Flores ends up here. I think he ends up staying in Minnesota, or maybe Jerry just throws an outrageous amount of money at him. What we know about Josh Harris from his days in Philadelphia with the Sixers, and frankly from when he took over the Washington job, he doesn't love paying people not to work. So if he's already paying Witt and Kingsbury, whatever these deals look like, there's going to be other other staff that gets changed out here. Mm-hmm. I don't see him going top of the market to go get Schwartz or Flores when you already have a defensive-minded head coach. It'd be one thing if they loved their offensive-minded head coach and then they needed a new DC, but you're paying Quinn X. I don't think isn't there an argument that to get Minnesota, to get Flores out of Minnesota, you have to pay him more than Quinn? Like, how much is he going to make? To get out for Minnesota to say, you know what, you can walk. We're not going to match it.
It comes down to, like, if they match it, then there's nothing you can really do.
But that's got to be a huge number to get them out of there.
The deal automatically comes down to what is role going to be. And that would have to be D coordinator, assistant head coach.
Right.
And I don't know how many people are that powerful to just bring that in like that.
Here's what I want to talk about because I think it's far more interesting. What's going to happen offensively? What's going to happen with David Blau? Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitch and Finley.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
B, I want to circle back to this because I think it needs to be a much bigger conversation. So maybe we'll do that later in the program and let folks call in. Really interesting news last night. If you're Jaden Daniels came out and said how much he loved playing for Cliff. Dan Quinn and Adam Peters said we're involving Jaden in every decision. I got a hunch that before the news came out about Cliff, Jaden knew.
Yeah.
I think these guys understand that Jaden is the crown jewel of the franchise and they want to be upfront and honest with him. And I'd be shocked if Jaden didn't know Cliff was on the way out.
I'll say this. You think I didn't know coaches that I liked dealing with that a team was about to let go? And if you ask me in the media what I feel about him, I enjoy playing for him. But I can't control whether he get fired or not, right?
Right.
I can't control if the people that are paying me and him decide to let him go. You know, so it's very, very logical that Jaden could love playing for him, but also understood what's going on and could probably feel damn good about the fact that you'd say, well, okay, we let you know and we're going to also talk to you about other stuff. We're not saying we're going to let you make the decision, but we're going to give you that respect and that level of courtesy. Makes a world of difference.
Absolutely. And for those that want to point out Jaden's mom's tweet about, you know, Jaden and Cliff reloading for 26, and, oh, what does that mean? Go back in time to the Robert era when his family was actually in charge of coaching decisions. That wasn't the right way to do things.
Yeah.
And they'll have to have a conversation with Regina and deal with all that. But, like, there is no way Jaden wasn't aware of what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And
they could have been looking forward to working together in year three, and then they went and told him something. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't necessarily see that as anywhere close to what Robert family was doing. Or I didn't think they were trying to give it.
It just shows how different everything was. Yeah, when people try to make that false comparison, it's different.
Yeah.
All that said, Cliff is out. Tavita Pritchard left in whatever, November to go take the Stanford job. I think there's real questions what else happens in that quarterback room that was so tight-knit and positive. And now you've got Detroit requesting an interview for David Blough to be their offensive coordinator. You and I have talked a lot. I've been really high on Blough. I didn't know how fast his name would go up, but I thought there was a real possibility. Go back to August. I said this on the air, that Cliff would get a new job. He would take some of their assistants with him, and Blough would have an opportunity at that job.
Mm-hmm.
Now, would that be a big jump for a young guy that has not called plays before? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But the fact that Detroit is asking for the interview is pretty telling that league-wide, other people are at least want to hear what it would look like.
Yeah, yeah. And Washington can say, hey, go talk to him. Give us a final say.
Well, they get it because he's under contract, right?
I'm just saying. So the thing of it is, like, that's cool. But also, sometimes you need somebody else to be interested in you for the place where you're at to start moving a little quicker.
Absolutely. And if you think about Blough, this is a guy that was with Cliff in Arizona, right? Like, he had some experience there. He also was in Detroit with Ben Johnson. Like, this is a dude who played on two different teams, but was in the NFL under a lot of different spots on practice squad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people talk about what system do you run. Blough might come in with truly, like, his own system because he's been in so many places and experienced so much different
stuff.
Pull
a little bit from everything.
Right. And then, you know, you go past that, like, I posted this clip last night on my Facebook page from Hard Knocks. David Blough was running the quarterback meeting. Brian Johnson was in there, obviously, but he's now the quarterback's coach, right? Like, when Tavita moved on, Blough got promoted. I don't think they made that official, but it was a de facto promotion. And he's going around the room. Josh Johnson and Marcus Mariota are talking about gratitude for everything. And Jaden spoke, and he said, what I've realized this year is all the great ones, all the successful players overcome adversity. And I think that was really telling in that moment. And I've seen Jaden and Blough are super tight. Now, that should not dictate who gets to be the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
But in a room that's had a lot of turnover, some their decision, some the coach's decision, there might be value to that.
Some level of consistency has to happen.
Right.
And if that person is not only good and up and coming and has that type of consistent relationship, you may lean on that sometimes. Because some of the best play callers out there believe in their system more than they do the person sometimes. And they want to dictate and say, this is what you're going to do. I know what you do well, but this is what I'm going to have you do. And that can cause problems. If you got two younger people coming along the same way and they work hand in hand, which means we're both trying to help each other get to that point, that could be a great, great match. You know what I'm saying? And Blyle, like, you and I were standing next to each other in the tunnel after the Philly game.
Yeah.
And he's like, that's what I'm talking about, JB. And I know some of the guys come off the field very stoic, like, oh, just in the game. When you watch a coach, and I was watching him, when you go out there and you work at something and you get what you were working at, it's hard as hell to win in this league. And he has an energy that I like. You know what I mean? I'm not going to sit up here and act like I'm not happy about a win just because a fan think I should. Hell, I know how hard it takes, how hard it is to go out there and get it done. And we went, and they went out there, and his third string quarterback made some bad plays early, but came down the stretch and did everything he was supposed to do. And that would make me feel damn good. So I could see that type of energy being something that's infectious going forward.
I want to open the phone lines up about David Blyle a little later in the program. When we return, Neil Greenberg joins us.